Sil, pues.
Court is ready to hear argument in 03-1200, Magloire County Appraisal District versus Coastal Liquids Partners, LP.
May it please the court. Mr. Lowe will present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 7 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. My name is Peter Lowe. I represent the Matagorda County Appraisal District. This property tax case involves the construction of various statutes found in the Texas Property Tax Code. From the appraisal district's perspective, it is difficult to conceive of a case in which the Code Construction Act could be more applicable. In fact, the Code Construction Act is explicitly made applicable to the property tax code in section 1.03 of that code. The appraisal district should prevail in this case because the descriptive listing of separate interests in real property should not control whether those separate interests are taxable or not. The court should render judgment that the subject property in this suit, the salt dome storage caverns, are real property that is taxable as a matter of law. The issue in this property tax case is whether, again, a descriptive listing of an interest in real property can destroy the taxable nature of the property. One of the questions in the case is whether it is right to correct an alleged multiple appraisal by simply deleting one of the accounts, which is clearly separate from the other property, which is allegedly subject to the multiple appraisal. The listing and the description of property cannot and should not, under Texas law, serve as a basis for absolving it from taxation without a showing that the same property, the same interest, was appraised and taxed more than once. In this case, two portions of property were simply listed in separate accounts. They're not the same property. There was never any multiple appraisal. There is nothing in this record that suggests that the underground salt dome storage caverns were subjected to a tax and the surface land was subjected to the same tax. It is clear from this record that the taxation of these interests were separate. At most, if the appraisal district did anything wrong in this case, they misdescribed taxable property. I don't think they did that. In this case, I think it's important to point out that the description of the property, which is underground storage caverns, enhancement to the land, is the correct way to describe them. It gives the property owner total information about what is being taxed. If we had just thrown all these matters together into a single category of land, I think we'd be in clear violation of section 25.03 of the tax code, which provides that property will be listed with sufficient certainty to describe it. And that's what we did in this case. The Court of Appeals opinion, the relevant point of error, which was...
I'm not sure I followed that last part. If you characterize both as... You don't think you could characterize both as land?
I think you could, Your Honor, but I think there's two things to be accomplished by the description of the property. The first is to let the property owner know what it is we're taxing or appraising in this case. The second is to let the appraisal district know in-house why there's a different value on this property. If we listed land, one of the things the appraisal district is required to do is keep track of what it's doing. And if you have land accounts that are supposedly equal, as the Constitution requires, and you've got 100 acres of land at $1 million, 100 of a million, and 100 acres at $10 million, you want to know why is this $10 million and not $1 million? I think a perfectly logical description would have been land-surface, land-storage caverns. And that would have told the district and the property owner exactly what was being appraised for taxation.
Well, I just thought I heard you say that you couldn't call them both land, but you could call them both landers.
Well,
land and something, just so
I think you could, yes, sir. Right. But I think we owe it both to the in-house record keeping and the property to let them know what it is we're taxing. And I think we're required by statute to describe the property with sufficient certainty to describe it. The relevant point of error, which was sustained by the Court of Appeals, was MCAD's listing and appraisal of the natural underground storage caverns separately from the land constitute multiple appraisal of the land. I say again, there has been some confusion both in this case and in the Harris County case versus Coastal, which came before this court some time ago, about whether the difference between salt domes and storage caverns. salt domes are naturally occurring in the land. They are part of the land. I'm not aware of any appraisal district which, if the ownership was the same, would separate those two interests. But when the storage caverns are leached out, then the primary that we would, in this case, there are, it creates a separate interest in the land, and that separate interest is separately taxable. The Court of Appeals had at least three conclusions that I would argue to the court are not supported by the record. The first was that the property was listed under the category of other and improvement. I don't think it's critical to the case, but it wasn't. The property was actually listed as enhancement to the land, parentheses, storage caverns, parentheses, close. And that's clear from the record. It's in there repeatedly. The appraisal roll, copies of the appraisal roll are in the record. One critical mistake by the Court of Appeals opinion is it stated that one of the caverns was leased from Mr. Peterson, the owner. In fact, it wasn't. Mr. Peterson doesn't own a storage cavern. Mr. Peterson owns one of the surface areas above. There are two salt dome storage caverns in this case. Mr. Peterson owns the land above one of them. The third mistake is that the definition used by the Houston court in the Harris County case versus Harris County Appraisal District versus Coastal convinced the court. They went through some discussion about whether, as we brought up on motion for rehearing, whether the salt domes constituted part of the mistake in saying that the salt domes were what was at stake here, and the Houston Court of Appeals clearly made that error. They came back and the Court of Appeals said we're not necessarily persuaded that salt dome storage caverns are necessarily natural. I guess it's possible. I'm certainly no engineer. I guess it's possible you could have a salt dome storage cavern that wasn't natural, but it would be very unusual. I mean, it would have to be some sort of natural leaching process, and I don't know how you would know that until you ran a drill down there and found out about it.
Well, I mean, Carlsbad Caverns. You walk down into that. Would that be a improvement?
No, sir. That would be
natural. That's because it's natural.
Right. I think that's a good point, Jeff. We're arguing that the action of the property owner in actually, as I understand it, the way this works is the drill goes in, and the casing goes in, and then a tube is put in, which is more flexible than the drill. Out comes the casing, and this flexible tube can control. I mean, it's very clever, these Americans, but it controls how much you can take out, how much you can leach. And that is why, if you know, in the agreement between Coastal and Texas Brine, one of the things they did was negotiate how much space Coastal was going to need, because that's how they knew how much to leach out.
What if that natural cavern was enhanced so that the owner of that property charges a fee to go visit that cavern?
Say again, sir.
What if the natural cavern was enhanced so that it makes gives the public an opportunity to go view that? And the owner of that property is charging a fee. Wouldn't that be taxable?
I believe it would. And I would ask, you know, I would want to know the nature of the enhancement. You know, was admission charged? Quite frequently, to tell you the truth, sir, the most of those are owned by the government. But I would say, yeah, in fact, I've got a case, a bat cave, where exactly that is happening. We're arguing it's taxable. It's been improved. There's been public access has been provided. And we may very well be coming up on one of those cases.
And what if there's a natural occurring salt dome in an area of Texas where the owner of that property is storing anything and
okay.
charging a
and
fee? Does that enhance the property by the fact that he is receiving a benefit from
yes,
which?
And let me make it very clear, that would be a salt dome storage cavern, not a salt dome. A salt dome is typically not taxed unless it's in use. One of the things, again, that I think is important to the case is the fact that we have split ownership on one of these caverns. There are two caverns involved in this case. I believe they're called the Hillpo 1 and the Hudson 3. The Hillpo 1 is owned by Texas Brine, which also owns the storage cavern beneath it, which leases the storage space to some of the storage space to Coastal. The other storage cavern is also owned by Texas Brine, but the surface acreage is owned by Lawrence Peterson, who's not a party to this lawsuit. If the Court of Appeals is holding, as I submit to the court they are, everything has to be called land. The value of these extremely valuable salt dome storage caverns are going to be attributable to the landowner. They have to be, according to the Court of Appeals. Otherwise, it's multiple appraisal. And now we have the incredibly unfair result, and it just happens to be Mr. Peterson in this case. I'm confident that there are other situations throughout Texas where the surface and the subterranean interest are in separate hands. Now the tax bill supposedly is going to have to go to Mr. Peterson, and that result just can't obtain.
Why is that true under Section 2504? Can't you send different tax bills from the land to different people?
Well, we'd be accused of multiple crimes.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get accused or not, but I'm just wondering whether under the statute, when different persons own land and improvements in separate estates or interests, each separately owned estate or interest shall be listed separately in the name of the owner.
Well, as I understand the Court of Appeals opinion, these aren't separate interests. They can only be land. I think you're right on target. That's how we should be doing it. That's how we are doing it. But if there's only one account and it can only be land, then we can only send one appraisal notice and one tax bill.
If there's realty that's owned by one person and a building on the realty that's owned by a different person, how do you bill that?
Separately, separate accounts. It would be whoever owns it happens all the time. In fact, there's been
What would the description say?
Sir?
What would the description say, for example?
Improvement, probably. It would say it depends on the type of structure, but it would be improvement and a value to ex-property owner, and then land, and there are codes. The appraisal districts are heavily computerized, so they would have codes showing it would be land only. And again, that comes up all the time. These storage caverns, Mr. Bolton, the appraisal for the appraiser for the coastal, testified that their lifespan is 45 to 50 years, and there are approximately 500 of these in Texas. If the opinion of the Court of Appeals is correct, that this is a multiple appraisal, that requires that then a property owner can sue, go back 5 years for all the taxes that have been paid, and submit that is going to be a significant blow to all the taxing units that are affected by this case. These storage caverns, I think the record is fairly clear, have been on the roll for decades. And at the very least, they've been on from the testimony of Sam Harris for our side, that they've been on since the advent of the property tax code, which became effective in 1982.
Just briefly before your time runs out on the jurisdictional issue. They presented what they purport to be undisputed testimony that Texas Brian was not contesting anything about these two storage facilities.
That's absolutely incorrect, Your Honor.
What evidence is in the
Texas Brian filed a notice of protest every year. They're protecting their own interests as sound businessmen will. They came up with this theory that was some kind of a global protest that didn't. They protested everything. But as soon as they were satisfied, the owner was satisfied with the valuation of the subject property. Then Coastal came in and was dissatisfied with the valuation of the subject
property. When you say the subject property, you're not talking about just these two facilities.
For the purpose of this, well, Texas Brine filed on $13 million worth of storage caverns. These are about one.
How many is that?
I believe the testimony was 14 from Mr. Sneed, who was their representative.
So it included a lot more than just these two.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And how do we know that it included these two?
The notice of protest is for the account numbers which are in the record include the account numbers which are in this lawsuit.
And 12 others.
Now they're not. I don't know that there are 14 separate cause account numbers. I can't remember for sure, but it's the value. It's the total value of everything Texas Brines at the Markham facility near Clintonville.
Mr. Lowe, briefly, in Justice Medina's example about a naturally occurring salt dome under property, and it's used for storage and a fee is charged. What if it's used for storage and no fee is charged? Is it still taxable?
I would.
Is my question essentially is the key whether it's the property's been improved, or is the key whether it's been improved such that there's additional value or revenue coming
improved,
in?
Improved, because services. I would also look at whether services were being provided and that sort of thing. But yes, if property, I would submit to you. And again, it's not a salt dome. In that case, it would be a salt dome storage cavern. If it were improved to where it could hold something, even if you weren't charging for it, now it's got value. And the appraisal district would be charged with appraising that property at market value and putting it on the tax.
And if it were a naturally occurring salt dome under the property, no one knew about it for years, then it was discovered, would it also increase the taxation?
It would increase
because
the value,
it makes
but not that, and that is a critically important point to make because of the agricultural use appraisal. The ag use exemption is critical to this sort of analysis. And if you need to stop me, please do. But the surface land, this stuff is always going to be in rural areas. Typically, I mean, I don't know of anyone where it could not. The value of the surface land is not going to change. Remember, the court has said unsuspecting farmers and ranchers are on the outskirts of the burgeoning communities. The market value of that property can be $10 million per acre, but the valuation on the open space never changes. It could be $50 an acre. So what I would say to you is that if there's a salt dome underneath and somebody finds out it's down there, the market value of the property could quadruple, but as long as they're still qualifying for ag use, the primary use of that land is still going to be agricultural. There will be no change to the surface value. So the taxes do not change even when the market value changes dramatically.
Any further questions? The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Porter will present argument for the respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court. Coastal is asking this court to continue to require the strict adherence to the real property categories of Tax Code Section 104.2 and not allow the appraisal districts to create new categories of real property. This is important for three reasons. First,
let me ask you, just conceptually, is there a difference between multiple appraisal and double taxation?
I think they're one and the same.
So how was what the county did here, how did that result in a double taxation?
Well, it resulted in multiple tax and multiple appraisal.
Which you've said is the same thing as double taxation.
Right.
How did it result in a double taxation?
Well, the owner of the surface was taxed on the property.
On the surface.
Mr. Peterson.
On the surface value of the land.
The owner of Texas Brine was taxed on the everything else, or it could include part of the surface. That's the problem with the multiple appraisal. We don't, and why the categories themselves have to be enforced, because we don't know where the appraisal relating to the land stops, the surface land stops, the appraisal relating to the subsurface starts. And that's the wisdom, if you will, of having these specific categories of real property that the appraisal district is required to categorize the property into.
Well, how's that different if the improvement is above the ground and you have a building that's owned by a corporation and the land that's owned by somebody else? How's that different from an improvement that's below the ground?
Well, an improvement above the ground, a building, is indeed an improvement under Section 104.2 of the tax code, and its value would be listed on the appraisal roll separately from the land. An improvement below the ground, if it were indeed an improvement, the Houston Court of Appeals in Coastal versus Harris County Appraisal District has determined the fact that the storage cabins are not an improvement. But if there was an improvement of some kind, like the Super Collider in Waxahachie, that would then be listed as the building would be as an improvement. So you'd have an appraisal on the roll for land, an appraisal on the roll for improvement. Just like
and isn't that what was done here?
No, that's not what was done here. And in fact, the appraisal district has specifically stayed away from calling this an improvement, from calling this a mineral, from calling this land.
Well, they're calling it an improvement now.
They're not calling it an improvement. He may have used the word improvement this morning, but in his brief, he specifically does not call it an improvement. He says that they should be entitled to describe it descriptively as an enhancement to land storage cavern. And they do that in order to avoid direct conflict with this court's opinion in Gifford Hill and also with the Coastal versus Harris County Appraisal District case, which found these caverns not to be an improvement.
Well, is that finding? I'm a little confused on the status of the case. We reversed on other grounds.
Yes, it was reversed on jurisdictional grounds.
Right. So is that opinion? There was no capacity to determine the question. Has it been decided? I mean, would we need to overrule that case, or if there's no capacity, is it just advisory and not any sort of, I'm bound by it anyway, but it seems to me like it would just be more advisory.
I think you would have to overrule that. I think you would have to overrule the Gifford Hill case, perhaps more importantly, and more important to your question, in order to find that these storage caverns are something other than land. Because what to, if I can, just, I was in the middle of stating 3 points that I, why I think it's important that this court strictly adhere to those categories of real property under Section 104. And the first is because it avoids multiple appraisal. It avoids this very question of which land is included in this category, which land is included in that category. Is a hilltop view, is that something that's listed as land, or is that something that we go down and describe descriptively as an attribute to the land and value that separately?
So under that theory, if they assessed a skyscraper as skyscraper rather than improvement, that's a multiple appraisal.
If they described it, if, well,
no, that's real clear. If they said the building, instead of saying improvement, they said house. Your theory is that's a multiple appraisal because they didn't use the word improvement. Nobody's confused about what house is. It's your house. But you say can't do it, multiple appraisal.
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor.
Well, explain to me. It sounded like you said that.
If there are two buildings on the property, they list one as improvement, they list one as house, and there's actually two houses on that property, that raises the question of whether there's a multiple appraisal. What's included in the improvement value? What's included in the house value? And that's what's to be avoided by the strict categorization of the properties.
Yes, but my hypothetical had one building on the property, and that building was listed not as improvement, but as house. No problem there, right?
And there's nothing listed as improvement on the appraisal board.
Nothing. There's land and one for house. No problem there.
I think the taxpayer would have a very difficult time disputing that appraisal as a multiple appraisal, yes.
I'm unclear. It seems that two arguments could be made here, and I'm not clear whether both are or one of them. You could take the position that because the appraisal district didn't follow the statutory categorization, that therefore the appraisal is flawed. Or you can take the position, or in addition, you can take the position, it doesn't make any difference how you categorize it. You can't tax this salt dome storage cabinet separately from the surface of the land. Are you making both those arguments? Are you just making the first argument, or are you also making the second argument? In other words, could the appraisal do this right, in your view?
Yes, they could.
And how would they do
this? They would include the value in the land value.
They include the value of the storage cavern in the land value, but the petitioner says they can't do that because of open space.
That was the same argument that faced this court in the Gifford Hill case.
Right.
In that case, what the situation was is that there was a area of Wise County, part of which was an actual limestone quarry, part of which was where the mining company Gifford Hill had bought the rights to limestone, or actually bought property and fee outside of the quarry. With respect to that property that was outside the quarry, the Wise County Appraisal District attempted to put it on the appraisal roll as rock reserve. They had an appraisal for land, they had an appraisal for rock reserve, and they did that in order to attempt to avoid the agricultural use reduction in value that would occur. But what this court found in that case is that you cannot create a new category of rock reserve and describe it descriptively on the appraisal.
Yeah, but we weren't really thinking about the technicality of a category. We were thinking that limestone, well, goodness knows whether it's down there or not, and how can you increase the appraisal separately because somebody has a particular kind of rock in their property. And so there was a, it was kind kind of a concern about, of course, limestone was argued to be a mineral. There were several arguments. It was argued to be a quarry. There were several arguments in the case. But I guess the question here is a salt dome storage cavern different? And I think your argument is, but correct me if I'm wrong, that if somebody owns this property, the fee simple interest in a tract of land, under which is a salt storage cavern, the most that taxpayer is going to have to pay taxes on, or any taxpayer, is if it qualifies for open space exemption, is the open space value of the property or not?
If it does qualify for open space exemption, I frankly have a hard time believing that the space directly above the cabin would qualify for open space exemption because it's going to have production equipment. And so, therefore, there's going to be some area that is attributable to getting that product out of the ground and putting it into the ground. So I think that that's really a fallacy to be concerned about.
So you think that taxing unit's going to get the taxes some way if they do it right?
Correct. And I think there is a way to do it right. And the way that they do it right is to follow what this court's decision was in Gifford Hill. And I think that the strict adherence, again, the strict adherence of Section 104.2 and those categories is critical to maintaining a clear and equitable tax system because it avoids the multiple appraisal issue. It also...
Well, you're going to have to... You're saying where the hole comes out of the ground, we've got 10 acres and we've got a 25 square feet where the hole comes out of the ground. You're saying they should appraise one to the 25 acres and a different appraisal for the 25 square feet, which is going to reflect the value of the cavern. That's a why isn't that a multiple appraisal under your theory?
It wouldn't be a multiple appraisal under my theory. You'd have two separate tracts that are taxed differently.
Okay. And Mr. Peterson, what's he going to say about this when he gets the bill?
Well, what's not in the record here is...
Assume there is a Mr. Peterson somewhere, Mr. X. He's sold these rights. He has no interest in it. He's going to be the surface owner, and he's going to get a surprise with regard to 25 square feet that its value is $1 million.
Well...
What does he do?
The conveyance documents, had he gone to a lawyer, I would assume the conveyance documents would have taken care of any increase in value given this different
use of the property. You should have put that into your contract, Mr. X.
Yeah, should have put it into his contract. In this court, in the Gifford Hill case, again, there was stated in the opinion that there was property in the Gifford Hill case where the mining company leased the property and the rock from other landowners. This court did not concern itself with what happened to the surface owner in that case, nor should it. Just like in the last argument where Justice Owen asked a question, well, do we have one rule for lien holders with greater than $1 million in net worth and one rule for lien holders without? Do we have one rule for taxpayers that are have greater than $1 million in net worth and another for those without? But getting back to my points on why I think it's important to maintain the integrity of Section 104.2, again, avoids the multiple appraisal. The second one is that it provides a quick and easy method for determining if there's omitted property on the appraisal roll and to keep property from escaping taxation. In Judge Brister's case, it's very closely analogous to a case, the Credit Bank case that's cited in the brief, wherein an apartment building was left off the appraisal roll. The appraisal district came in and used as proof the fact that on their appraisal roll, the only value given was land. There was zero for the improvement. And that was held by the court to be sufficient to establish that the apartment building had been omitted from the appraisal roll, and the appraisal district was allowed to go back 5 years and recapture that value. So it's very important for that reason. And the third reason that I would submit it's important to maintain the integrity of Section 104 is that then it creates certainty as to what is the appropriate appraisal methodology for valuing that property.
Well, how do we apply 104 in the mineral context? I mean, I'm having a hard time seeing the distinction, the lines we're supposed to be drawing.
There's There's six categories of real property under Section 1042. Land, improvements, mines and quarries, minerals, standing timber, and an interest or estate in any of those five. So minerals are specifically carved out of the, is one of the six categories of property under 1042 that the appraisal district is required to list that value of.
Why isn't a hollowed out salt dome either a mine or a quarry or an interest, a state or interest in a mineral that was in place or is in place?
Well, in the question of what constitutes a mineral was again addressed by this court in the Gifford Hill case, and that case clearly defines things such as gravel, sand, other things.
Well, there's a statutory definition, I assume.
There is not a statutory definition in the tax code of what is a mineral. They fell back on, under the Code Construction Act, they fell back on the common usage of the term. And based on other cases that related to...
Salt's not a mineral?
Salt is not a mineral.
But this is not producing salt. I mean, we're not trying to tax the salt out of here. It's the storage nature of it that is the value, right?
In this particular case, the testimony at the trial was there's 14 cabins, as Mr. Lowe stated, at this site that are used by Texas Brine. Seven of them are used for storage. The others are used for brining operations where they do recover the salt to sell for chemical processes. And in fact, Mr. Sneed stated that, in fact, the brining operations were more profitable than were the storage operations.
But the brining operations are taxed as minerals, I presume.
It's not in the record as to how they're taxed, whether they're taxed as mine or quarry, whether they're taxed as mineral. But there are other categories that those types of things could fall into.
But let me make sure I understand. Are you saying that the storage cavern, as a storage cavern, is an improvement?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it is land. It is a part of the land that should, in fact, be included in the land value for the property.
Why is it a mine or quarry that's being used for storage? I mean... It's a salt mine that's being used for storage.
Again, the mine or quarry definition, this court in Gifford Hill went back to and looked at the definitions of mine or quarry, and the definition is, in fact, an actively producing
mine. So you are saying the only thing that can be taxed at is the ag, at the highest tax rate is the ag exemption?
I'm saying that, well, that may be the situation here.
I'm asking, what's your position?
My position is this property has to be valued as land.
And what's the most it can be valued at as land?
Our appraiser, this is the appraisal district, valued this property, one cavern at $1.8 million. They valued the other cavern at $850,000. Our appraiser that we put on evidence of, because we also challenged the valuation of the property itself, not just this issue. Our appraiser to get those numbers, the way the appraisal district valued the property was they did a cost approach. They had some general numbers.
What do you say the property is worth, and how should it be taxed?
Our appraiser says the property is worth $20,000 an acre, and the footprint of these caverns is 5 acres, so therefore it's $100,000.
Based on what kind of use?
As a storage cavern. And Mr. Bolton, who was our expert appraiser, went around the state and found about 11 sites around the state where there were storage caverns.
So you're taxing the man sales. So you say they should tax the surface owner who doesn't own the storage cavern for the storage cavern?
That's the case here. If Mr. Peterson owns the surface and doesn't own the cavern, yes.
But
Mr. Peterson...
There's been a division of the estates. The estate in the land has been divided. He owns, let's say, the surface, and how can you tax the surface owner for something he doesn't own?
If the estates have, in fact, been divided, it may be able to be listed under 1042F, which is an estate or interest in one of the above. So it could be that it could be listed, a land account listed on Mr. Peterson's, a land account listed on the other's estate or interest. And you would... I think that answers your question.
I'm not sure I understand why it's not an improvement.
The tax code in section 104.3 defines improvements. Improvements are basically structures, fences, things of that nature above the ground. In this case, it is just a hole in the ground.
So
it's
is
a hole that's created by the removal of the
system. So is NORAD, but that would be a structure, wouldn't it?
NORAD would probably at some point be considered an improvement, yes, a structure, because of
so is it just how fancy it is that makes the difference?
I don't think it's how fancy it is, Your Honor.
It's clearly affixed. It ain't going anywhere.
Well, it's because it's in the land.
This sounds simplistic, but you have to improve it to be able to use it the way it's being used. Why isn't that an improvement? I mean, you've got to do something to it for it to have a storage use.
Because of the definitions that are contained within the tax code, it doesn't fit within the statutory definition of what's an improvement. When the Harris County Court in the Coastal versus Harris County Appraisal District case did analyze the question of whether or not this very facility was an improvement or not, they looked at the Hazardous Materials Storage Act, if I said it correctly, but it is an act that defines improvements that are used for hazardous liquid storage and salt dome storage caverns that are used for salt dome, that are used for hazardous liquid storage. And in that statute, there is a distinction created between the actual salt dome storage cavern, as we have in this case, and the improvements. There are other improvements that are utilized to store the hazardous.
Let me just ask you real quickly. Has this issue come up in other states across the country? Surely Texas is not the only state with underground salt storage.
My research has not indicated that there are any other cases related to this issue.
Thank you.
And maybe because of the discrepancies in the tax code, the way the tax code is written.
Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Permission of the court, I'd like to clear up a couple of things real quick. The first is
one that would help me is your last comment in your opening argument about the effect of the ag use. I don't understand that.
The court has its finger on the 800-pound gorilla in the closet. The key for the ag use is that it has to be the primary use of the property in order to qualify for ag use. Now, the question is going to be if we have to put all the value in the land, and that includes the value of the underground storage caverns, which the records reflects are being leased at $450,000 to $500,000 a month by Coastal combined, or what would you say the primary purpose is? That use or grazing goats on the surface?
Well, but what difference does it make if a separate estate has been created that would be taxable in and of itself?
It wouldn't. If we're taxing, and that's the key to the tax. If the appraisal district is allowed to list and appraise for taxation the underground storage caverns separately from the ag use, we have no problem. That's the same case.
Well, then wouldn't you have to just put on the appraisal separate estate?
That's what we did. That's why we're here. And the key, what they're saying, remember the strict adherence.
But I thought you didn't proceed under the separate estate subsection. You proceeded under land, but my understanding is that maybe they agree it would be properly taxable as a separate estate, and then you'd avoid the ag exemption problem.
Your Honor, I don't, if they agreed to that, I honestly don't believe this issue would ever have been tried. What Gifford Hill and the Harris County versus Coastal in this case are about are the strict adherence to the Section 1.04 words, and if we pick a word other than land, they're going to say the property is multiply appraised. And so we went out of our way. We didn't say it was a mineral because we felt we lost that in Gifford Hill. And we didn't say it was an improvement because there was litigation in Harris County a year ago.
But there'd be, again, I mean, if it's a separate estate, you don't have the ag exemption problem.
Right.
If it's not a separate estate, then it shouldn't be taxed as an ag exemption. It should be a tax.
That's absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct.
Well, you could have one owner that did both, couldn't you?
And it often happens, yes, ma'am. In fact, in one of our cases, one owner owns both.
Is it one of your concerns that if somebody owns 10,000 acres and there's a salt dome under five of them, that he'll claim ag use as to the whole 1,000, and that will be its primary use because that's what 995 are used for, and you won't be able to tax the salt dome?
That is absolutely correct, Your Honor. We'll be back to the Gifford Hill quarry situation, which I suppose is how many acres comprise the land that's part of the salt dome storage cavern. But we're also facing, for that surface owner, if we're going to appraise for taxation the surface all the way to the core, which includes the salt dome storage caverns, and we're going to not, now it's not going to, I'm saying to you that I think chief appraisers are going to find the primary use is now for a salt dome storage cavern, not for ag. So the ag is no longer going to qualify, and you're looking at a five-year rollback.
Well, let's say it's 1,000 acres with the five-acre salt dome. As the 5 acres, you can't tax them both for the surface and the salt dome. You've got to pick one if it's unified interest.
That's correct.
A unified interest.
Sure. And I think, so the value is going to be, for the sake of argument, 5 acres plus salt dome storage cavern, $1 million. And that tax bill, I really don't have that much problem doing it, except when the ownership is in separate estates.
And to fully understand your position, if the land is ag use and the other things that you want to tax fit in one of the other 5 1.04 categories, then that's fine. You don't have this problem because the ag use exemption only caps the land appraisal. It doesn't. If you have minerals, that's a separate deal. If you have a quarry, that's a separate deal. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I believe that's correct. And there may be some dispute about this 5-acre footprint. Okay, that didn't come up because we used different methods of appraisal at trial. But I think it's the ag use problem is real in this case because you've got separate ownership. I mean, if we're going to have to send $1 million.
I don't understand that either. You say there may be a dispute about the 5-year footprint.
Five acre.
But if you can tax the 5 acres without the ag use cap, then that solves your problem too, doesn't it?
Except when the ownership is in different people. When the owner of the valuable storage cabins does not own the surface land, but we have to send the appraisal notice and the tax bill to the owner of the land, according to the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals, then the person with acreage, in this case, I think the testimony is $450 or $500 an acre. Their witness said it would be $20,000 an acre.
But if it's his obligation, it's his obligation.
He doesn't own the storage caverns, Your Honor, and I think that's the problem. It is not his. In the appraisal district, we're accused of being hard-hearted enough. My mother tells her friends I'm unemployed. But it's important to us to see that the tax bill goes to the right people. And in this case, this is dead wrong. And it's the case, I think it's Bashara, case cited in our brief. This is just wrong.
What did happen to the Harris County case?
Y'all sent it back on procedural grounds.
Well, it was reversed on other grounds, but is it proceeding now?
My understanding, this is completely off the record. I did nothing. I mean, off the hearing, I think they just got tired of fighting and made some sort of agreement. I don't know the result. I don't think it's still in litigation. One statement that was made is that the court in the Gifford Hill case did not seem to be concerned about the surface owners. That's absolutely incorrect. I refer the court to the motion for rehearing, 827 Southwest 2nd, 822, where on the motion for rehearing, Justice Hightower clearly was concerned about unsuspecting farmers and ranchers on the surface. There's also a comment about, this is just a hole. Turn the court's attention to page 18 of the Underground Storage Cavern Agreement, which is in Plaintiff's Exhibit 24 in this case. Coastal is required to maintain $500,000 of insurance, explosion, collapse, underground damage, bodily injury, and death, and that's not just for a hole.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The cause is submitted. That concludes the arguments for today, and the court will adjourn.
All rise.